Adventure 8. After a quick bout of identifies, the party decided to bypass the door Serenus had linked through the day before in order to continue through the right-hand door, the way the morgues had come from. Moving down the corridor, the party entered into a room that was obviously the site of a large battle, seemingly between Jirallans. Someone had conveniently piled a large pile of platinum and gems into a chest in the corner of the room, and although suspicious, the party soon was overcome with greed and pocketed all of the loot. Moving past the Jirallan corpses, the party came into a large room, with four doors leading out of it, as well as three small mini rooms inside of it. Checking the center mini room, the party found it clean, and in fact, completely dustless. Paranoia being as rampant in the party as it is, instead of entering they decided to throw a copper into the room. When the copper vanished upon striking the ground, the room was dubbed a teleportation chamber and the door was closed. The other two men rooms proved less exciting, only containing a sarcophagus. Magnarus and Horkin opened both of them, took the scant silvers and gems found within, and made sure the bones inside would stay just bones. Checking the more western of the two southern doors, the party found a larger sarcophagus filled with the bones of several people. Again looting the few silvers and gems that had been left to them, Horkin stirred the bones to make sure they stayed bones, and the party went back to the original room. Moving to the other southern door, the party opened it to find a large pedestal, carved into the shape of a dragon. But most alarming to the party was the metallic piece of dragon key clutched in its mouth. Rushing into the room to grab it, Sanorus was only moderately surprised when the pedestal came alive and attacked him. However, despite its larger than normal size, the gargoyle was still, after all, a gargoyle, and proved fairly ineffective, other than a solid hit on Magnarus. Crumbling into rocky shards, the party shifted through its remains and grabbed the tail of the key. Going back into the center room, and going through the north door, the party wandered down a winding passage, until they eventually found a door. Opening it, the party was suddenly confronted by several morgues, blazing about a number of corpses. Acting quick, Gel launched a fireball into the room. To his surprise, his fireball seemed to possess even greater strength than it should have had, and the entire room exploded into a hellish inferno. When the smoke cleared, only a ring and a chest were left in the room, and Horkin, who had been close to the door, had suffered horrible burns. Healing Horkin up, the party entered the room, looted the ring and the contents of the chest, although despite its fine engraving, regrettably had to leave the chest behind. Moving through a hole in the western side of the room, the group soon found themselves overlooking a chasm. Horkin and Char could barely make out a platform in the center, on which sat another pedestal, this one also seeming clutching something in its mouth. The fact that this was a dragon pedestal with another piece of key was not for a moment doubted. Summoning three pseudo-natural celestial eagles, Char sent them winging towards the pedestal, hoping they could pry the key away from it and escape without being eaten. She didn't count on the pedestal's trap killing one of the birds, or for the five specters who patrolled the room to absorb the life energy of the other two. Informed of the specter's presence, Magnarus launched a turning into the darkness, and grinned, as two of the specters fled into the darkness. Feeling brave, Char used her magic to grow wings, and took flight towards the pedestal. She had apparently forgotten that three specters were interned, and was beset by them. Rapidly draining away her life force, Char found herself greatly weakened, and deprived of much of her magic. Utilizing the heartstone stolen from one of the Night Hag's body, she transported herself to the ethereal plane, and quickly fled back to the party. Meanwhile, the group was launching everything they had at the specters, blasting them again and again with spells and arrow. Sanorus began to sing a holy hymn that seemed to empower Magnarus's abilities. Soon the three specters were dispersed. Char's energy was restored by Magnarus, and feeling brave, or maybe stupid, Char prepared to fly to the ledge again. Flying over, she forgot about the fate of her first summoned eagle, and eagerly reached out for the key. And then she realized the pedestal was still trapped. Electricity coursed through her, causing her to jerk her hand back and leave the key where it was. Cursing, she headed back to the party, and related what had happened. So finally, the party decided to give Sanorus Melder slippers of spider climb, so that he could climb up above the pedestal and use a shatter spell to destroy it. Char would fly next to it and grab the key, as the pedestal was destroyed. They didn't count on the two specters returning. Sanorus held off on his plan and instead created a magic circle against evil, protecting him from the specter's attacks, while the rest of the party launched even more spells and ranged attacks at the flying monsters. Shattering the pedestal, Sanorus began to move back to the party, while Char darted down, grabbed the key, and shifted across the ethereal veil using her hearthstone. She failed to notice the subtle cracks beginning to run across its surface. Singing a moving song, Sanorus fascinated the one remaining specter, rendering it immobile just long enough for Gel to cone of cold it into oblivion. Congratulating themselves on acquiring the key, the party moved back into the morgue's room, and then into the winding passageway, deciding to get the two doors they had left behind. Moving back into the large room with four exits, the group went through the western door. Inside was another large sarcophagus. Following standard procedures, the party looted the sarcophagus and stirred the bones about. Then they went through the southern door in the room. Inside this room they found a large fountain, with the words "Break the bonds of time, until Ashardalan returns." As Char spoke the words, yellow liquid began to fill the fountain, and Char scooped up as much as she could, putting it into a vial. For those new to the group, or forgetful of things long ago, the Sunless Citadel was full of fountains very much like this one. Deciding to leave the potion alone for now, the group walked further back, into the room they had encountered the Night Hags in. Going through the door Sanorus had blinked through, the party found themselves within an empty hall that ended at another double door. Opening these, the party viewed a small room with a far wall that curved inward. On the far wall was a large keyhole. The group didn't have long to wonder about where they were, however, before they were attacked. Something invisible struck at Horkin, attempting, but failing, to snap his neck and draining away some of his life force in the process. Similar attacks occurred throughout the group, however where most of the attacks were followed by the appearance of a vampire spawn, the creature attacking Horkin remained unseen. Chaos erupted among the group. Horkin was made invisible, as was Gelb. Several fireballs and other area effects were launched in the vain attempt to hit monsters the party couldn't see. You'd think the Night Hags would have taught them a lesson. Magnarus managed to turn two of the vampire spawn, even, as they drained away some of his soul. Sanorus fired a crossbow bolt at the remaining one, and struck it directly through the heart. Howling, the beast crumbled to the ground, quickly decaying away to a skeleton. Casting Mephra gaze, Nick's eyes suddenly turned to a solid, dark purple color, and small wisps of smoke began to rise from the undead who met his gaze, a guy with solid purple eyes and a pink mohawk, witted. With the vampire spawn taken care of, more and more pressure began to be applied to the invisible opponent, several arrows and spells being thrown in his general direction. And then suddenly it had cast a spell and moved, somehow getting past everyone to strike at Nick standing in the back. Its offensive didn't last long, however, before Char burned it to a crisp using a Ganazer scorcher. It was the same white that had attacked the party while they rested so long ago and had fled from Melder's dust of appearance. The party had just begun to relax when the last vampire spawn, turned by Magnarus earlier, came screaming back into the room. But Jeld was ready. Taking Belkus in hand, he lunged at the creature and ran it through. Belkus pulsed a deep purple as the spawn dissolved into mist. Yulch. What crap is this you feed me? You definitely tasted better, Belkus muttered, as it took in what it could from the desecrated corpse. Moving back to rest, the party started to settle in for the night.